Georgia Governor Nathan Deal is now considering whether to sign a bill that would require private insurance carriers to offer coverage for autism treatments for children 6 and under and up to $30,000 a year. Now, the governor has not yet indicated whether he'll sign this particular bill, but in the past, he has spoken favorably about the idea of autism coverage.
And this is Autism Awareness Month, a time when experts in the field launch campaigns to educate people about things like the importance of early identification, unusual concerns that arise with autistic children, and the challenge of a child with autism as he or she transitions into adulthood. Doctors William Sharp and Cheryl Clayman are with Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, the Marcus Autism Center. They join us now in the studio. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thank you for having us.
Dr. Sharp, I'll start with you. The bill on the governor's desk only requires coverage for children 6 and under. It's basically a compromise bill. Is that enough, do you think, especially when children, as we know, need treatment well past that age?
I think it's a good start. With 1 in 68 children estimated to have autism, many with comorbid medical and behavioral concerns, there's a strong need to provide resources for families to access care. And this bill represents an important first step in providing families access to this resource.
But we're talking about tens of thousands of dollars a year for this treatment, and children will need treatment well beyond that. There is a second part of this deal that was made where a bill will be put together to ask voters to approve a 0.2% sales tax to cover autism treatment for kids up to 18. And Dr. Sharp, again, is that something that is acceptable, or do you think we need more before that?
Well, I think we need to be thinking of this as a lifelong condition, and I think it's important to go up to 18, but beyond that, children with autism grow up to be adults with autism, and we need to be thinking about the whole lifespan and how to provide coverage and care for these individuals.
You know, right now we hear about the rate of children born with autism is 1 in 69 births, and I think that's an increase. We've seen that increase, but how much of an increase is that rate over what we saw maybe 10 or 20 years ago, Dr. Clayman?
Sure. It is a pretty large increase from what we've been seeing, but what's essentially happening is that we're getting much better at identifying children and families who have autism spectrum disorders and who are in need of services. So we've gotten better at diagnosing the range of the spectrum. So children who are higher functioning, who have more language skills, children from minority communities. So the biggest increases have really been in children of Hispanic and African American descent. And then we're also better at understanding the subtle differences between children who have autism and those who have intellectual disabilities.
And let's clear some messaging up here, because often we hear about how we need to convey a message when we hear how we use language. When we talk about autism spectrum, what kinds of things fall within that range to sort of clear up and give an acute definition here?
Sure. Autism is a neurodevelopmental disorder of highly genetic origin, and it's been a change since 2013 with our new diagnostic and statistical manual. And what we're seeing now is an umbrella diagnosis called autism spectrum disorders, and it includes a whole range of kids from a varying degrees of functioning who have difficulties in their social communication abilities and have repetitive behaviors or atypical behaviors that we're seeing. So they have to have those criteria in order to meet diagnostic.
And there are several, several definitions, for example, when we hear Asperger's, is that, would that fall into that as well, or am I off base here?
Sure. No, you're not off base, and it's very confusing, because in 2013, essentially, Asperger's syndrome disappeared from our statistical manual, so we no longer make that diagnosis. So now it's subsumed under the diagnostic category of autism spectrum disorders.
If it's confusing for me, I can only imagine that's also confusing for a parent here, you know, in terms of warning signs and in terms of being able to know when my child may be or has some type, one of the falls within the spectrum. So, Dr. Sharp, let me ask you this. Where should a parent begin? I mean, what signs are they looking for? I mean, it's got to be very difficult.
Well, I think that really speaks to Cheryl's work. We at Marcus are trying to help move the age of diagnosis and identification down from about 4.5. That's just unacceptable in our view. And we're really looking at the use of technology and state-of-the-art clinical and research infrastructure to shape the field.
We're speaking with Dr. William Sharp and Dr. Cheryl Clayman of Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, the Marcus Autism Center. So, Dr. Sharp, you're talking about we need to diagnose children earlier. What are the biggest problems that you see that make it harder for people to know when they might need to check for that diagnosis?
Well, I think we've done a better job recently of raising awareness in the medical community. And some of Cheryl's work, and I'm going to turn this over to Cheryl because that's really her area of expertise, is working to give some tools to providers that allow them to diagnose earlier.
Right. And so what we're working on is tools to help identify autism as young as possible, because one of the things that we do know is that the earlier we can make a diagnosis, the better the child's outcome would be, because we can get them into early intervention services at a much younger age.
And should those intervention services, and this is one of the most emotional debates right now, should those intervention services be the kinds of things that would treat perhaps some of the symptoms, allow somebody to basically continue and be accepted as part of a spectrum of normal? Mm-hmm. Or should we go after a cure? Because that implies this is a disease, and a lot of people who are in the autism spectrum and the people who love them say that's not a good thing.
Right. And at Marcus, our philosophy is really to create an issue of diversity and not an issue of disability, because one of the things we know, and Dr. Sharp can speak more to this as well, is it's a lot of the comorbid symptoms that really...
Comorbid symptoms mean
so
what?
Things like feeding difficulties, aggressive behaviors, toileting issues that really get in the way much more than the symptoms of autism do. And so what we want to do is help kids and their families live to full potentials rather than really changing a cure, making a cure for autism.
But wouldn't your feeling about whether this is something that is just along the, should be accepted in the wider community, or whether it's a disease that needs to be cured, wouldn't your feeling about that depend on where you were on the spectrum? Because if a child is barely able to function, those parents may say, we need a cure. Whereas if a child does better with therapy and programs, then you say, look, maybe this is a child who can function fine, doesn't need a quote-unquote cure.
Right. You want to take that?
Yeah, how do you address
that? Well, I think we're trying to curb the long-term impact of the disorder. So there are social engagement and communication are the two well-known and recognized aspects of the disorder, but less common or less well-known is that children with autism also experience extremely high rates of comorbid medical and behavioral concerns. These include severe behavior, sleep difficulties, toileting concerns, disruptive behavior, and these aspects of daily living significantly interfere not only with the child's functioning, but as the whole family's functioning. And participation in school and other aspects, going to medical appointments, that's all impacted by autism.
We've been speaking about the children here, but let's talk about when they transition into adulthood, because I imagine there's a separate set of issues that parents or the guardian has to also be concerned with. What are the challenges that arise in that situation, Dr. Klayman or Dr. Sharp?
Well, I think it's important to recognize that autism is a lifelong condition. And children with autism grow up to be adults with autism. There's need for support. The need for support doesn't stop when an individual ages out of the school system or a pediatric treatment center such as Marcus. But right now, there's not a safety net that's well-developed for adults. And I think raising awareness, such as programs like this, and the need for that, getting community support for treatment for adults.
We've been speaking with Dr. William Sharp and Dr. I started calling you Dr. Chris Gunter, but you're actually filling in for Dr. Chris Gunter, Dr. Cheryl Klayman. Real quickly, before we let you go, I want to ask for a parent out there that might be listening that says, hey, this is all great, but there is a cost here. Where can I go if I need assistance? And I know you all can play a role in that, but it is costly for some parents. So where do they turn? Where do they begin to turn to get assistance?
So the first thing to do is a family needs to have an assessment. And so we want to determine what that child's level of functioning is. Is it autism or is it something else? And we can certainly help at Marcus, whether it's through our clinic where families can use their insurance or pay out of pocket for it. But we also have lots of research studies where we can have parents come in and get an evaluation and participate in research free of charge.
Dr. Sharp, real quickly, there is, of course, the controversy over vaccines and whether there is a link between vaccines and autism spectrum disorders. Has there been definitive work one way or the other that can answer that question, or are we still in the middle of a debate here?
So I appreciate this question. When we talk about the vaccine controversy, it's important to recognize that parents want the best for their children. They want them to grow up to be happy and healthy. And hearing that vaccines cause autism has created a great deal of fear in the community. The important point about the vaccine debate is there is no debate, because all research suggests vaccines are safe and an important part of keeping children healthy.
Dr. William Sharp and Dr. Cheryl Klayman are with the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta Marcus Autism Center. This is Autism Awareness Month. Thanks to both of you for being with us. We really appreciate it. Much more to talk about, so we'll have to have you back.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.